Midterms are over. Cue one of the most expensive election campaigns in the world. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, as results continue to roll in this morning from close state races, let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia ended the session mixed but gave way to a rally in Europe. Shares are broadly higher with gains of more than 1% across the major averages. Meanwhile, U.S. stock futures are pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. The U.S. dollar has resumed its decline. Democrats took back control of the House, while Republicans gained a bigger majority in the Senate, and that, investors are betting, could scupper President Trump's legislative agenda on taxes and trade. Now to Madagascar, where voters today choose the country's next president from 36 candidates. According to a 2016 EU report, candidates in the island nation off the coast of Africa spent more per voter in the last election, double than what Donald Trump spent on his campaign. So in a country where 80% of the population survives on less than $2 a day, how's that spending going down? Journalist Raisa Yusuf has been telling me more.
The campaign has been really lavish, especially coming from three of the main candidates. They are the ones who have the biggest budgets and the biggest funds because there is no cap on spending. They have organized really big rallies attended by thousands of supporters. They have distributed T-shirts. They have organized concerts in their meetings with national artists, with dancers. One of the candidates even had a firework display. They also have been moving across the country in helicopters because the roads are so bad. One of them has seven to move across the country just for his electoral campaign.
The fact that so much money is being spent and that this is the world's most expensive campaign by some measures, how does that go down with voters?
It's a country where 75% of the population is living in extreme poverty. Some of the supporters are actually impressed by the rallies. They accept all the goodies, all the T-shirts, all the gifts. Some of them have been quite indifferent to the election because they are so busy surviving, basically. When I was in the village of Omban in the highlands of Madagascar, I met with Dr. Rakutunirin Jean Bosco Etienne, who is running a basic health center in the village.
At the moment, many women still give birth at home. They can't make it to the basic health center, especially if they are in labor. It's nighttime or it's the rainy season. 3 or 4 years ago, we heard of a woman who died of bleeding while giving birth at home.
So, Raisa, decent health care, decent roads. A lot of people are worried about the basics. Do they care who wins?
What they want is infrastructures. What they want is roads to be able to get the products out more easily because it has a very big impact on the local economy.
Raisa Yusuf. It's the Hindu festival of Diwali today, marked by candles and fireworks, or crackers as they're called in India. But those celebrations cause already toxic air pollution levels to spike further. A few weeks ago, India's Supreme Court passed the first ever national restrictions on fireworks. The BBC's Rahul Tandon reports from Kolkata.
Diwali is, of course, the festival of light. But this year, the Supreme Court has put some restrictions in place. You can only let fireworks off for 2 hours a day between 8 and 10 p.m. Tamanna Nayak thinks that's a bad idea.
The way we want to do it, we won't be satisfied just in 2 hours. So that's like taking away one whole festival out of your calendar year.
Are you worried that if you go outside the deadline or your fireworks are too noisy, that it could cause problems, the police could come in?
Yes, I suppose there'll be a lot of patrolling, but I hope we can meet the deadline. So 2 hours of non-stop crackers.
Aye, madam. Dekh liya, kam to track kar liya, bahut sa item hai. Aye, madam.
I've left the Nayak's house and I've come to the city's largest firework market. There are 40 different shops here. Now, normally, it would be packed. But many of the stalls here are empty. Rohit Narula owns one of the largest ones here.
I think it's scaled down like 40% at least. I mean, this has been a tradition. This has been something we've been doing for the last 40 years. But now, because the margins are so low and it's difficult to recover costs, it's something we are reconsidering for the future.
It's after 10 o'clock, but there's still loads of fireworks lighting up the sky. There's smoke everywhere. I've come to what is normally a quiet street in Kolkata to meet Devan Bhargav, who's considering leaving this city because of the pollution.
As soon as the winter sets in, it's becoming very difficult to stay in Calcutta because breathing becomes very heavy and my lifestyle is curtailed. Every 15 days I'm falling sick because of the pollution.
What the Supreme Court's decision has done is start a debate.
It's a waste of money, it's a waste of the environment, it's a waste of everything.
All over the world there are crackers once or twice a year, New Year's are there. But why only in Diwali and only in India?
If Indian cities fail to tackle the issue of pollution, next year there may be no fireworks at all.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon reporting from Kolkata.
Finally, if you can change your name, can you also choose your age? A 69-year-old Dutch man has gone to court arguing he's biologically only 45 and should be allowed to change his date of birth. He says he wants to go back to work and achieve greater success with women on Tinder. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. A previous audio version of this newscast incorrectly describes sexual orientation and gender identity. We apologize for the error. The audio has been corrected.